All right, we'll call the April 23rd council meeting to order. Edie, if you would, roll call, please.
Councilperson Garrick. Cuddaback.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Camp.
Present.
Davis.
Present.
Gamble.
Here.
Hanford.
Here.
And student representative Toronto.
This time we'll stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll move on to comments from citizens. This time is set aside for you to speak to the council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. You're welcome to address. Keep your comments to 5 minutes, please. I do have one person signed up, Mr. Jensen. Please state your name and address for the record.
Okay. I'm Steve Jensen, 17041 155th Street Southeast, right here in Monroe. Let me start by saying or mentioning a couple years ago, Seattle did a study on changing their garbage pickup from once a week to once every 2 weeks. Part of the reason, I mean, there's lots of reasons. Part of the reason was to save money. A couple other cities have done this, Portland, Renton, and amongst the other things, they do save money. Naturally, it costs the pickup company less money, less man hours, if they only are paying drivers once every 2 weeks, in effect, than once every week. So I'm not here to suggest that Monroe switch their garbage. I'm just pointing out that less pickups or picking up twice as much every other week is a money-saving option. The reason I bring this up is that I you can almost say I have a contract with the city for once a week pickup. The city, I'm sure, has a very solid, firm contract with Allied Waste for once a week pickup. However, last Wednesday, they did not pick up. They claim some strike basis from, I don't even know, Ohio, Iowa, some other state, where there might be some labor dispute. We certainly don't have a labor dispute here with Allied Waste. Not that I'm aware of. I believe we still have a valid contract. So the fact that just because they say, well, we'll just pick up twice as much garbage the next week, should not get them off scot-free. Because there is a savings of money there that happened because they skipped a week. So I'm here to petition the city, and I know at least one councilman up there that was affected by this as well, because we're in the same neighborhood. So maybe he can even introduce something or a motion or whatever it takes, but at the minimum, the city should impose some sort of fine on Allied Waste for breaking their contract and not picking up garbage last Wednesday. Possibly even taking it further and giving some sort of refund, a dollar or two maybe, to all the customers so affected. The reason this is important to me is that while the union may have their reasons for striking, the union has funding to pay their workers when they don't work. Us as citizens in the city should not be financing and supporting, I say financing their strike, which is essentially what is happening if we do nothing. So again, I'm here to basically petition you, if I don't know if it's something you can do tonight or in the future, but I would like to see the city take some action against Allied Waste for breaking the contract and not picking up garbage last Wednesday. Thank you. And I can't stay for any follow-up much.
Well, we do have a couple questions.
Yeah, a couple questions. Yeah.
Councilman Hanford.
Actually, Councilman Campus.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Gene, could you tell him what you sent out in that email regarding this issue? I don't know if you should have heard this.
Sure. From my understanding and talking with the garbage company, the drivers are part of the Teamsters Union. And so when they showed up to work, there was a strike line, if you will, set up, and the drivers at that point in time had an option whether to cross the picket line and be fined by the Teamster Union or not cross the line and not be paid for the day. So they discussed it among themselves, and the drivers decided that they would not cross the picket line in support of the Teamsters Union, which they were part of, and they went home for the day. So they too were punished essentially for not going to work. So it was either be fined or not work, not get paid. So they chose not to work, and they did not get paid. So it wasn't a good experience for them and their families either.
Right, but we shouldn't be paying the full rate. If they didn't get paid, Allied's saving a whole lot of money.
Wasn't there something else in addition to that, their offer about the garbage pickup?
There is. They have put an offer out there, which I was prepared to talk about later in the evening, of giving a deduction of $5,000 to the community for the cleanup week that they're putting on. Because what they were talking about is the tonnage is the same. They base a lot of it on tonnage. So if you pick up twice a week, reasonably, you could say that the amount would be twice.
Right. It's so, but certainly the man hours is less, so there is a savings of money.
Correct. So at any rate, they have proposed the $5,000 savings to the community, which they didn't have to do per their contract. They've pledged that. So they have been good about that. But again, it's up to the city whether or not we want to go in a different direction or accept that.
So we'll be discussing that tonight. But
okay, I don't see it on the agenda.
So. No, that's fine. Sure. I understand.
Okay, so I just didn't want to be subsidizing the strike myself, and hopefully the city isn't subsidizing the strike either. So if,
understood.
If the $5,000, maybe that is sufficient, but something at least is done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hampton?
Yeah, Mr. Jensen?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
sorry.
I just want to say thank you for coming and sharing, and also just so you are aware, You're the only one speaking tonight, but I know myself, I've heard from several people via email, in person, and I can't speak for the other council members, but I myself am a disgruntled citizen as well.
Yeah.
Because my garbage is now piled up on the curb. And so I'm in 100% agreement with you, just so you know.
Okay.
You're not the only one.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have no one else signed up, but if there's anybody else who would like to speak, now is your time to do that. Seeing no volunteers from our three audience members, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Do I have a motion for the consent agenda?
I'll make motion.
Second.
Consent agenda.
A motion was made by Councilmember Pettibat, seconded by Councilmember Gamble. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. All right, new business. 2012 building code introduction. And that is
me.
Everything else is Matt.
Okay, we do this every 3 years. Every 3 years, the what's commonly referred to as building codes are updated by the people who do that kind of thing. And the state of Washington thinks about it for a while and then does some amendments and then adopts the codes for everyone in the state that are effective July 1st of this year. It has been traditional in the past that the city has done additional amendments to kind of customize the codes to our local circumstances. That's the time to start working on that right now. So I was just bringing this as an introduction to you. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 codes that the state adopts. The International Energy Conservation Code, the International Building Code, the International Existing Building Code, the International Residential Code, the International Mechanical Code, the International Fuel Gas Code, the International Fire Code, and the Uniform Plumbing Code. In the past, the City of Monroe has also adopted some additional appendices to the codes, and we're recommending that still happens. There's one thing that we are recommending that we don't do is adopting the International Property Maintenance Code, which you've adopted in the past, and we've just sort of adopted that. We adopted it for the first time in 2009 without doing any amendments to it, and it is actually very severe. You know, you can give people, you know, tickets for not having screens on their windows and things like that. So we haven't used it, and I'm recommending that we don't adopt it again this year until we have the chance to go through it and really set up something that actually works for us, as opposed to just adopting something that has a whole bunch of regulations out there that we don't enforce. Another thing that is up for consideration this year is the adopting of Appendix S of the International Residential Code, which would require fire sprinklers in one- and two-family houses. We've discussed that in the past, and in the past we haven't chosen to adopt that. And this is a good opportunity when we're adopting the new codes for the council to indicate whether or not they'd like the staff to bring more information back to you on that, or if you've already decided that you don't want to do it, you can tell us not to waste the time of bringing any information forward, or what's your pleasure there. Just one of the, I just have to show you this. The state finally adopted the International Energy Conservation Code. The state has always in the past had their own code, the Washington State Energy Code, and the building industry and the building officials have asked for years that they adopt the international code to be more industry standard, and you can see how thick that is. And so they finally adopted it this year with these many amendments. So I just thought, so basically they really adopted their code over again, but I just thought that was kind of funny, the difference in size there. So any questions you have, I'd be happy to answer, or any direction on what you'd like to see in codes?
Brendan, I have a question. What rationale do we use, or have we used in the past, to decide if we're going to adopt a code from the state versus whether we're going to do our own and make amendments?
The state already adopts them, so they go into effect. The things that we do that are different than the state, we modify it to the way we operate. There's some places in the code that, you know, says local jurisdiction to insert the way they do things here. So the way we charge for permits, you know, references the fees resolution, the way the building department is structured, things like that. And then we've also had our own regulations regarding hydrant spacing, the location of how far fire apparatus roads, how close they have to get to buildings, the street section, how big turnarounds are, things like that. That's pretty much the extent of what we change.
Okay. And is the plan, you want direction tonight on this, or are you looking for, are we going to be talking about it again on May 28th? See, May 28th is council review.
That got moved to June 4th. So on June 4th, you basically get from staff the recommendations of what we think needs to be changed.
Okay, so you're planning on making those recommendations?
Right. And if you want to have any input right now on, you know, we think you should consider the Appendix S requiring residential sprinkler systems, you know, we can add that in, or if you want more information, pros and cons statements regarding that and things like that, you let us know, you know, now or between now and then, so that we can be prepared to talk about it. Because the new codes go into effect on July 1st. Whether we do anything or not, and the idea is to have not have a several week period where we have one set of codes and then decide to do things a little different later, and that would just cause confusion.
Well, I'll speak personally for me and then open it up to other council members, but I don't know that I have enough information on the Appendix S whether or not to say I'm in favor of adopting it or not. I know traditionally in the past builders have been opposed to it because of the extra cost associated with it. So I'd probably want to hear some more information before I was able to say, I think you should move in this direction or not. So I don't know who was first, but I will go in order. Councilmember Campbell.
Councilmember Campbell.
If I call on her, you'll forfeit your turn.
I will yield the floor to Councilmember Federer. I'm really curious. Okay.
I would like more information on Appendix S. So, Brad, has that been adopted by the state?
No, the state. That one hasn't. The state makes it optional.
Okay, so that one's completely optional. They have not.
They have not adopted it, right?
So, we need to do an amendment to adopt it.
Correct.
Because it's adopted, yeah. it won't be adopted unless we do that. Okay.
And it sounds really big, Appendix S. It's actually one sentence. It says,
yeah.
Residential fire sprinkler system shall be required at all 1- and 2-family dwelling units. Okay. So
I would like more information, okay. Kind of pros and cons. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the fire department wants to come to that meeting. And
that's what they heard tonight.
Yeah, no, I realize that. I have gone when they have done the presentations about what fire sprinklers have done. I don't know if you've ever gone over there when they do the, Jamie, what's it called?
It's a fire sprinkler demonstration.
Oh, just what I said. Okay. But it's pretty amazing, so I think it's worthy to look at. I mean, it is incredible how the difference, and so I would like information on that. Obviously, cost to the building, to the developers, what's that going to entail, so that's information I would like.
Councilmember Campbell.
Thank you. Essentially that, plus the not adopting the 2012 International Property Code Maintenance Code. Give me some direction on what the heck that is.
It's a code that says you have to have, it's not that thick, but it has a whole bunch of things. You have to keep your house painted, you have to repair your windows, you have to...
Is that a screen issue?
Screens on the windows, you know, all that kind of stuff that we adopted in 2009 for the first time, and we've never used it. And it just has a whole bunch of regulations that we don't enforce, and I don't like to have things that, you know, are laying around it. If we want to enforce it, we need to enforce it, and if we're not going to enforce it, why adopt it?
But we have adopted.
We did adopt it for the first time in 2009. And no one's, you know, cracked the book since then to go out and look and say, okay, you know, this house is doing that kind of, you know, is not meeting this, and, you know, issuing citations and things like that. That's basically what it's meant for.
How much documentation is involved with this? I'm just curious. I mean, I don't want you to, because it sounds as though if we've adopted it and we're not using it, my first thought is, why would we keep it? But I don't know if it's something that we really need to delve into and see if there are parts of it we need to keep or what. I don't understand why it was adopted in the first place if we're not using it.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it was, you know, thought to be a good idea back in 2009, I'm assuming.
Right.
But, you know, with staff changes and things like that, that knowledge has been lost.
Okay,
so
if there's a Reader's Digest version of this, I'd like a little bit more information,
okay.
About it. I do agree with Councilmember Cuddeback about the Appendix X. I'd like more information on it. I don't know if they go into a lot of detail about anticipated costs and that kind of mm-hmm. thing. So that's the kind of, that, in addition to the safety factors, additional costs and impacts to housing would be of interest.
Okay.
Councilmember Gamble.
So just to jump on that, also looking at, you know, other, because I lived in Eastern Washington on a couple different times, and they had regulations around this that were, it depended on if you had one, you know, ingress, egress out from your neighborhood, where you were in association to the nearest fire station, you know, and maybe Jamie, the chief, you know, there's stuff that's already on the books. I don't know.
There's already stuff on the books for, like, if you don't have the fire apparatus, access road is more than 150 feet from your house.
Right.
There's some up off of 191st, there's some houses that are tucked behind other houses, and right. So they've been required to put sprinkler systems in because they've traded the sprinkler system requirement for an access requirement. But that's kind of a trading thing for one thing for another thing. This would require it in everybody.
Right.
So
I guess that's, yeah, that type of knowing what's already, you know, required, mm-hmm. from that perspective, yeah. And then maybe what other cities have done would be good. Because there is a cost, and there may be it's a hybrid approach where it makes more sense from a safety perspective. We do require, and it's not just a blanket, you know, across the board. It's my thoughts.
Okay. Brad, do you have direction then?
Yes, I do.
Oh, we have one more thing.
Brad, just another question about the property maintenance code. So that was adopted by the state.
No, it's not adopted by the state.
Okay.
Correct.
So
yeah.
That's
completely local,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, that was it. Thanks.
All right, moving on, resolution declaring utility easement surplus and setting public hearing date.
That is also Brad.
That's also me, yes. And I'm very slowly loading a picture. If you go to attachment number 4, which is the aerial photo, which is the best picture of what we're actually doing. In when the Frylands Industrial Park Division 2 was platted back in the late 80s, there was a fire department turnaround and a utility easement for a detention pond out in the plat. And the if you're on attachment 4, the blue four-sided figure there is the detention pond easement that was put in at the time the plat was first developed. Since that time, additional development has taken place to the west, so the water no longer ponds there. Now it all goes to Lake Ty or bypasses Lake Ty to go to French Creek. And there's currently a sanitary sewer lift station and a small swale that's used for the stormwater that's in the yellow crosshatched area. And as you can also see that in over the years they've built a building and have a mobile office on that area. The property was recently sold and the new owners would just like to clear up their property and actually have clear ownership of the property that part of their building is sitting on. So we've been talking to them and they're willing to give us an easement over the portion that the city is currently using, and the city would then release the rest of that easement. So it's just functionally easier to, rather than modify the easement, is for us to give up one and then to give us another one right at the same time, so we end up not losing what we're currently using. But since this property is a utility, this with the stormwater utility, it's necessary for the city council to hold a public hearing before we can relinquish the easement. Before you can do that, you have to set a date. So we recommend that you set the date to have the hearing on June 4th, at which time we'll give direction on what to do after that.
Councilmember Hanford.
Yes. I move to adopt the resolution declaring easement surplus and setting June 4th. 2013 is the date for the public hearing.
Second. Okay, motion been made by Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Camp. Councilmember Cutback.
Brad, just a question about the existing easement is the blue line all the way around, which mm-hmm. also includes the yellow.
Correct.
So it's not getting new property from them, it's just making our easement much smaller.
Correct.
Did we receive anything for changing that easement when it supposedly was supposed to happen but didn't?
As in?
I mean, because the easement just went from quite large to very small.
Yeah.
Was there monetary?
No monetary, because it was given by the plat, so the city didn't expend any money in getting it originally.
Okay.
And it's no longer needed, because basically as the area developed, that need for that use went away.
Went away.
Right.
Okay.
So.
All right, thanks.
Brad, if the need went away, why do we need to have an easement there at all?
Well, the need for the large one, there still is a biofiltration swale and the sanitary sewer lift station in that area that's still being used by the city.
And what you're proposing there, does that adequately cover?
Yes.
Seeing no other lights, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passes 6-0. All right. Ordinance pertaining to Roosevelt Road rezone, second reading. That's also Brad.
Yeah. I'm sure you all remember from last week, you did the first reading on this ordinance. This is the ordinance for the about approximately 71 acres on Roosevelt Road, north of Highway 2 on the east side of the road, of changing the zoning from UR 9600 urban residential to UR 6000 urban residential. And
As you recall from last week, when you did the first reading, this was a recommended approval from the Planning Commission. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Councilmember Hanford.
Not a question, but I move to accept a second and final reading. Ordinance 003-2013, amending the zoning designations in the Roosevelt Road area.
Second. Okay, the motion's been made by Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Davis. Seeing no lights, I was expecting one, but all right, seeing no lights, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries 6-0. Resolution adopting the 2014 to 2019 transportation improvement programs.
This is our annual six-year transportation improvement program. You held a public hearing on this last week after having an introduction to it the week before that. We made the changes that the City Council requested, and there were no comments received at the public hearing. So it would be appropriate to adopt this resolution if you so choose. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Make a motion to approve a resolution 2013/011 adopting the City of Monroe 2014 to 2019 transportation improvement program.
Second.
All right. Motion been made by Councilmember Camp, seconded by Councilmember Hanford. And seeing no lights, I'll have City Administrator Brazel read the resolution title.
Resolution number 2013-011, a resolution of the City of Monroe, Washington, adopting the six-year transportation improvement program for years 2014 through 2019.
All right. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. All right. Ordinance amending MMC 13.08, Sewer System Regulations. This is the second and final reading. Brad.
Thank you. This is the modification of the Sewer System Regulations to establish the urban growth area as the city's sanitary sewer service area, and also modifying the procedure for people to apply for extending sewer. And we discussed this last week, was for the first reading, and it was also had a public hearing held in front of the Planning Commission, and they recommended approval. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Councilmember Hanford.
I move to accept the second and final reading, ordinance number 004-2013, amending Monroe Municipal Code Chapter 13.08, Sewer System Regulations.
Second. Motion from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Davis. And seeing the lights, we'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carries 6-0. At this time, we will recess the meeting and reconvene in a study session. And our draft, our department reports. Start back with Ben. Anything? Jeff? Chief? Diane? Mike? You gotta have something, Mike.
No.
Paul?
No.
We've heard from Brad. Do you have anything else?
No, thanks.
All right. City Mr. Russell.
I don't have a report. I did want to talk briefly about the garbage issue that a citizen brought up this evening and kind of some of the discussions that we've had with Allied Waste, and Diane has also had some discussions with them. And interesting enough, I got a news flash today from Waste and Recycling News, and it talks on here that Washington State proposes a $2.14 million fine against Waste Management. Basically what they're talking about is the strike that took place last summer. So I did make copies for you guys to take in regards to that one particular incident that happened, and I wanted you guys to be the first to know in case you saw it in the newspapers or something like that. It just came out about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, so that's just for your information. As we discussed earlier tonight, Republic Services is proposing to pledge $5,000 towards cleanup week, and that typically costs what, between $20,000 and $25,000, Diane?
Yeah.
So it would, yeah, so it'd be a reduction of $5,000. Diane did look at the contract, and it doesn't specifically speak to what they do if a strike should take place. What they did do is fall back on the language for inclement weather, which says that they'll do double duty the following week, essentially. If they miss a week, they'll come back and pick up double the following week. So, at any rate, they have pledged the $5,000. It doesn't speak to that anywhere in the contract, so that is on their own that they came up with that idea. So, anyway, I'm willing to entertain discussion, bring something back to them, or if council's supportive of that, we can move in that direction and get something in the newsletter to the citizens letting them know.
Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Gene, we've already emailed back and forth, but just my thoughts on this. I have two thoughts. One, as a city councilman, I think it's wonderful. That's saving the city a lot of money, and that's going to feel good when we write the check for the rest of the garbage pickup this weekend. As a citizen, I don't feel that lives in the city. I don't feel like it benefited me at all. And so I'm trying to put myself in our citizens' shoes and see how would they feel if we announce that they're going to give us this credit, and so we feel good about it and we're satisfied. And so I don't necessarily have the answer, but I think that's the most important thing to think about, not so much the city coffers, because from looking at it, it sounds great, but what is the city citizens gonna, how are they gonna feel about this proposal? So I'd love to.
And what's our, do you know what our weekly charge is from
Waste? Diane would be able to answer that
question. We were billed monthly.
Okay. What's the monthly?
And what's the monthly?
About $226,000.
So about $55,000 a week, which they missed half of the week, and I think they're offering $5,000. It seems a bit light.
We have some customers that just have monthly pickup, and so for them, they were not affected by this whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, I, speaking just for myself, the $5,000 is a nice gesture, but as the Mr. Jensen put out, not having to pay their employees for a day of wages saved them far, far more than $5,000. I would like to see them, you know, pay for our entire recycling fee, the whole $20,000 or $25,000. I think calling that inclement weather is, again, a nice stretch on their part. But we had discussions about, you know, the no-strike clause and things like that. We talked about the contract, and I think $5,000 is nice. It's a drop in the bucket to the disruption. I know when we have bad weather and my garbage piles up for 2 weeks, you know, it's not a great feeling to have it sit in my garage for an extra week. You know, granted, they're going to come pick it up. So that's just my thoughts. Councilmember Kudabek.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree to go back and see, you know, make this suggestion or that they pay for more, but are all of the spring cleanup. When you look at the cost of the garbage and kind of who was affected, and I guess I can't remember where we ended on the contract, that there was nothing in there about strikes at all.
I don't recall either. I just know that we had several discussions on that topic, so it'd be nice to.
And legal, the attorney looked at that just quickly to see what it's.
No, but we looked through the contract and.
Yeah, I read through the entire contract, and it is completely silent as far as labor issues go. There's a whole procedure if you want to go through for liquidated damages. When I was talking to Republic Services today, they were telling me about their rate structure. how the way the rates are devised, there's two parts to the rate that you're paying. There's the disposal part and the service part. The disposal part's going to be the same cost because they're picking it up just a week later. They're still dumping the same amount of tonnage. So there's no savings there. As she said, as far as the service rate part goes, what they end up doing is their whole rate structure is based on automation. It's based, they time it out for how the truck goes down the street and picks it up with the automatic arm and dumps it. Once they get into the mode of, like, what they're going to have this week, where they have extra garbage put out in hefty bags, what that means, it slows it all down. So they have to go to each house, do the arm and dump, and then the driver has to get out of the car, out of the truck, and hand do all the extras. And so that extends it, so it's going to take them, it's going to be a super long day. They're going to end up paying overtime for this, and it's going to cost them more, they said, because they'll have a certain percentage of employees that will call in sick the next day because they're not used to having to do all this manual labor, and now they're all going to throw their backs out and stuff. And she said it's a very long day for the drivers. She said they suffer because they have to do a lot of extra work that they're not used to doing. She said it costs them extra in all the overtime they have to pay because it takes twice as long to do the runs because they have to go to the dump so much and doing the manual work. And she said the only thing that this accomplished was making the customers angry. She said they get no. She said they do not see any financial benefit out of this.
Councilmember Gamble.
So we looked in the contract for labor. What is for missed obligation, right? They just
liquidated damages.
Just liquidated damage. That's the approach to go. That's basically.
Yeah, but that's getting attorneys involved.
Correct.
Councilman Hamler.
Brenda.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm totally agreeing with everything that you're saying tonight. The one thought I have is that, say they do pay for the whole spring cleanup at $20,000, $30,000, whatever the numbers are that they settle on, I would propose that we then pass that on to the city residents that did not get their garbage picked up so that they see a credit on their bill, so that they see that it's going to help them somewhat. I still don't think making a statement that they paid for the whole city cleanup, I'm not sure how that will go over. Just a suggestion.
Councilmember Campbell.
Okay, math isn't my strong suit, but I want to make sure I understand. We're paying about $200,000 a month, correct?
That's for garbage, yeah.
The math includes all the hauling fees and the disposal fees.
It's about $226,000 a month.
All right, I'll just run the $200,000, make it easy on you. Okay, so 4 weeks, we're talking about $50,000 a week. How many days did they not pick up the garbage? One.
One day, yeah. Because some of the customers get picked up on Tuesday.
So effectively, we're talking $10,000. You got a count?
$27,000.
No, I thought it was one day. It was 3 days?
No, they pick up 3 days. They missed one.
Oh, okay. So we're not talking about a five-day week. We're talking about a three-day week. That's all. I just wanted to get some numbers in my head. Thank you. Can I see the math? Yeah, pass. Okay.
Councilmember Gamble.
In my opinion, I mean, the contract says that our course of action is liquidated damages and the attorney route. I mean, that's the way we're supposed to go. And unless we're willing to do that, and that's what we agreed to in the contract, then I'd say we take what they're offering. Maybe come back and say, hey, that's what we have. That's what we signed up for, and that's our path of recourse. So that'd just be my opinion on the matter. I mean, I get everybody's frustration. You sign a contract. That's the way that we're. That's the relationship. They're doing something outside of the contract, right? To try to mitigate that. We try to push that issue a little bit if we can, and if not, that's our recourse. We're all willing to step up to that, then for one day, that's the way we go. That's my opinion.
I think it's just smart to go back and ask for more. They can say say no, but definitely go back and say, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. To go back and say, this is what it costs, you know, our residents. This is, they're angry. Hey, if it helped, it was higher than $5,000. They can say no.
Agreed.
For the contract. Mm-hmm. And then I agree with Councilmember Hanford that some, I think the customers that weren't served should get some form of a rebate with the money they give us. We would just take it off the spring cleanup, but not everybody uses the spring cleanup. And the customers who didn't get their garbage picked up, they're angry. And I think they're the people that deserve some form of a rebate. So I don't know how that can be worked out. I don't know the logistics of that, but I think that's the more appropriate action.
We can go ahead and look into that and revisit the topic with Republic Services. As I understand, the billing would be a nightmare, but it's not insurmountable. It would have to be done manually because everything's automated and goes through a billing service that we utilize. I don't think it's insurmountable unless you're throwing something at me right now.
Yeah, our software system can't do a selective credit. So we would have to do a survey and see which customers were affected by it and which were not. And of those customers, we would have to go in and do a manual adjustment on each account.
Yeah, so that's quite a bit of work. I get it. And I wonder, is there any way to put it out there and say, if your garbage was not picked up, come into the city and get, or let us know? I mean,
do the honor system?
Well, I mean, you know, my garbage was picked up. So yeah. People that were on Tuesday were picked up.
Yeah.
I don't, there's no way that you have a roster of people just automatically who get picked up on Wednesday. They can't give you that, like, no. These streets.
Oh, we know which streets it is.
Okay.
But our system, we would have to do searches by street. We would still have to go through and manually do
but
it.
I guess part of it is wondering how much the rebate is, because if it's really, really small, it might not be worth doing the manual. So I guess that's...
Yeah.
So sorry.
Sure. If there's 5,000 customers, obviously that's a dollar a piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So, anyway, it's only going to be a few dollars. You might even be able to get a latte.
I would suggest just doing the math of, you know, take what the weekly cost is, divide that by three, and come up with some rationale. But it seems like it's at least 15,000. Just doing quick, simple math. And then at that point, if they don't do that, then we can bring it back to council and decide if we want to go further per the contract. Understood. Okay. Draft agenda.
Thank you. Draft agenda for May 7th, 2013. Public hearing. We have the extension of the marijuana-related use and land interim regulation. Number two, surplus utility and other equipment. We have the consent agenda. And under final action, we have award bid and authorized mayor to sign contract for Powell Street sidewalk project. Number two under final action, ordinance amending Chapter 18 MMC sign code reconsideration. And the draft agenda for May 14th, 2013.
And potentially an update from Alex.
I've got
you. Sorry about that.
Fine. As I understand it, Speedway Chevrolet has requested we take a look at that again. And that's what I know at this point.
Specific to?
The sign height. They were waiting for the ordinance to pass in hopes to order their sign for the remodel that they have going. Sure. And they were taken back that the height limit was reduced down to 35 feet versus the 45 that was proposed. So, and they had come and given public testimony, is my understanding, at the Planning Commission level. So,
thank you.
Seeing no other lights, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion from the
I'm